السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يسبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. هو الذي خلقكم فمنكم كافر ومنكم مؤمن، والله بما تعملون بصير. خلق السماوات والأرض بالحق وصوركم فأحسن صوركم وإليه المصير. Respected brothers and elders in Islam, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our nourisher, our cherisher, our sustainer and provider. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most powerful. Nothing in this dunya happens, takes place, occurs without the permission of Allah. Each and every single thing around us glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They make the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you and I cannot comprehend His glorification. How do they glorify Allah? Allah says, وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. May peace and salutations be upon the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon him, upon his family, and upon his companions till the day of Qiyamah. Respected brothers and elders in Islam, today I wish to speak to you in this limited time of ours a few teachings from a very great surah in the Quran, known as Surah At-Taghabun. And this surah is the 64th surah in the Quran. And before I share with you these teachings from the surah, from these ayat, I would like to give you a brief background about the surah so as you are well aware of what the surah is speaking about. You must remember that this surah, Surah At-Taghabun, is a Madani surah. This surah is revealed in Medina, or the ayat that were revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were revealed to him in Medina. And when we hear of Madani Quran, then what does Madani Quran mean? Ayat or surahs revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina, they talk about, they discuss the ahkam of halal and haram, the rules and regulations of Islam. And when we hear about Makki Quran, Quran revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah, they discuss the fundamentals of Islam, the basic teachings of Islam. And the most basic teaching of Islam is the kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because if you and I want to become a believer, we have to know the kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But subhanallah, this surah, Surah At-Taghabun, this is a very unique surah. This surah is a Madani surah revealed in Medina. It's supposed to be talking about the laws relating to ahkam of halal and haram, the rules and regulations of Islam. But this surah goes right back to the basics of Islam. This surah talks about the fundamental aspects of Islam. It talks about tawheed, bringing iman and bringing belief in the oneness of Allah. It talks about risalah, bringing iman in the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have we ever pondered as to why is this such? And subhanallah, when Madani verses revealed in Medina that constitute the mention of tawheed, that talk about belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we hear these verses, then these verses are not there just for information purposes to tell us that there is no ilah but Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. No, my dear brothers. These verses come as a reminder, to remind us about something. And what are they reminding us about? They come as a reminder to tell us that, oh you Muslim, oh you mu'min, you need to refresh and you need to revive your iman. Because your iman isn't just to say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and it stops there. No, my dear brothers. You need to feel this kalima, La ilaha illallah. And regarding this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many other verses in the Quran. And there's another verse in the Quran, Allah says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا بالله ورسوله. And all those who have brought iman, Allah is addressing you and I. We are believers. So Allah says, all those who have already brought iman, آمنوا بالله ورسوله. Now bring iman in Allah. Aren't we believers? Yes, indeed, we already brought iman in Allah. So what is Allah commanding us to do? Allah is telling us, آمنوا بالله. Bring iman in Allah means refresh and revive your iman. Renew your iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the messenger of Allah. So why I chose this surah in particular? Because Surah Al-Taghabun in the Quran, it's the 64th surah of the Quran and it comes after Surah Al-Munafiqeen. And in Surah Al-Munafiqeen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the conditions of the munafiqeen. Those people whose hearts, or they were not firm in their belief, they believed, they were not strong in their belief, they were not true Muslims, or their hearts got corrupt. And the next surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing all classes of mu'mineen. The weak believer, the strong believer, the mature believer, the fresh believer, you and I. And then I thought that, who am I addressing today? Who am I speaking to? Who am I addressing? Who's my audience? And then my dear brothers, I thought to myself that probably all of us are Muslims, or were born Muslims. And you know, in the time of Sahaba, there were two types of Muslims. All of us here, alhamdulillah, were born Muslims. And in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, there were two categories, there were two kinds of Muslims. One was that Muslim who brought iman, brought Islam right from the beginning of Islam. And the other kind of Muslim is that person who was a relatively new Muslim. So just as how those Muslims who brought iman right from the beginning of Islam were reminded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they need to refresh and they need to revive the iman, likewise you and I are also reminded that we also need to refresh and we also need to revive our iman. And let's get on to the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the first verse of the surah, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. That whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in this earth, they continue to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدِ. Kingdom, dominion, sovereignty belongs to Allah. Authority belongs to Allah. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Allah is the omnipotent. Allah has the capability to do every single thing. Really, my dear brothers and elders, how many of us know our Allah? How many of us recognize the greatness of our Creator? If we have to go out in the world, and probably most of the Muslims, we are about 2.something billion Muslims in the world, if not 3 billion Muslims in the world, but how many of us truly recognize the greatness of our Creator? Meet a Muslim and talk to him and ask him, speak to me about Allah for a few minutes. He will begin, he will say, Allah is Khaliq, Allah is the Creator, Allah is Razik. We can speak and he stops there. We can speak about dunya, we can speak about the people of dunya, we can speak about news, we can speak about sport, and it goes on. But how many of us can truly speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This will sadden you, my dear brothers. And the Quran talks about Allah. The Quran talks about the names, the qualities, the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran talks about the ilmul ghayb. The Quran talks about the inaccessible mystery of Allah. The names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hashr we read, each of which evoke a distinct characteristic for Allah. And all of them refer to the name Allah. Allah is that comprehensive divine name subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Al-Hashr, in the last few verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو. And He is Allah. There is no ilah but He. عالم الغيب والشهادة. The knower of the seen and unseen. Huwa ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah says He is the most beneficent, the most merciful. Allah says, Huwa Allahu alladhi la ilaha illa hu. He is Allah. There is no ilah but He. Al-Malik, the King. Al-Quddus, the pure. As-Salam, the one free from all defects. Al-Mu'min, the granter of security. Al-Muhaymin, the overseer of His creation. Al-Aziz, the great. Al-Jabbar, the compeller. Al-Mutakabbir, the Supreme. Allah says, Subhanallah amma yushrikun. Glory be to Allah. Allah is high above all what they ascribe as partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah then goes on to say, Huwa Allahu al-Khaliq. He is Allah, our Creator. Al-Bari, the Inventor. Al-Musawwir, the Bestower of Forms. Lahul Asma'ul Husna. His belongs the most beautiful names. يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in this earth continues to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is the all great. He is the all wise. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ. And to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the east and the west. فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Then whichever direction you turn towards, then there is the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ. This is your Allah. إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ. Indeed, your Lord is Allah, the one who created the heavens and the earth over a period of 6 days. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Then he focused his attention on his arsh and his throne. يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرِ. Governing the matters of his creation. The ayat go on, my dear brothers. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Allah, the possessor of dominion, the possessor of kingdom, sovereignty, تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءَ. You give this kingdom to whomsoever you will. وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءَ. You snatch away this kingdom from whomsoever you will. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءَ. You exalt whomsoever you will. وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءَ. You debase whomsoever you will. بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ. In your hand lies all goodness. إِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Indeed, you have the capability to do everything you want to do. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our ulama mentioned that if a person wants to understand, if he wants to gain the ma'rifat of Allah, if he wants to come to know who is Allah, then he can come to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from one of two ways. Look, number one, look into the ayat of the Quran and see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about himself. See the qualities and attributes of Allah in His Quran. Or look into the makhluqat of Allah. Look at the creation of Allah. And you will see Allah. The poet says, وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةٍ. Every single thing has a sign. تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدُ. That indicates to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. Allah says, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Then look at yourselves. Will you then not see? Look at your eyes with which you see. Look at your nose with which you smell. Look at your tongues with which you taste. Look at your ears with which you hear. Look at your hands with which you feel, with which you touch. Look at your legs with which you walk. All of these things will testify to the greatness of Allah, to the oneness of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is our Khaliq and He is our Razik subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's get back to the surah, my dear brothers. Surah At-Taghabun. Allah says, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. That whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in this earth continues to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, in this verse, my dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing a comparison between the rest of the universe on one hand and insan on the other hand. Allah is saying, oh insan, look, I want you to see something. The rest of the universe continues to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So tell me, who's next? It is you and I, insan, humankind. How much of tasbih do you make, O insan? Do you glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In another verse, Allah says, فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ حِينَ تُمْسُونَ وَحِينَ تُصْبِحُونَ. That glory be to Allah. Glory be to Allah. Glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you enter the night and when you enter the morning. Why should you and I glorify Allah? Allah says in the next verse, وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because the inhabitants of the earth and the heavens are already glorifying Allah. They are already making the hamd of Allah. They are already praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah says, لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ. To Him belongs kingdom. To Him belongs sovereignty. To Him belongs dominion. To Him belongs authority. And we know in human day experience, when we hear about authority, when we hear about authority, we begin to criticize. If there's any party that's to blame, it is the party that has authority. But subhanallah, Allah says, لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدِ. If there's any good you're going to speak about any authority, then it's going to be about the authority of Allah. Why? Because وَلَهُ الْحَمْدِ, He deserves praise for that. You won't be able to find any fault in the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah says, وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has the ability to do everything. Obviously, this is, we all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the omnipotent, He is Qadir, He can do whatever He wants. So why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us this in this verse? is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to tell you and I that He will do as He pleases and not as you wish. Because whatever He does, His decision is perfect for you. You will not understand the hikmat behind, the wisdom behind the decision of Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرُ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنُ. That it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created you. And from among you, there's a kafir. There's a person who disbelieves in Allah. And from among you, there's a mu'min. There's a person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is well aware. He has a full view over what you do. Allah has deep insight over what you do. And subhanAllah, for those people who will understand the Arabic language, and I will try and simplify it. So for those who don't understand the Arabic language, they'll understand the example. There's a difference between ru'ya and basira. Allah could have said, وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ رَائِيًا. And Allah also sees what you do. But Allah didn't say that. Allah says He has deep insight. He has a full view over what you do. So there's a difference between ru'ya, just seeing something and having deep insight over that thing. And the difference is, I give you an example. I am walking with a friend of mine who may be a civil engineer. And he tells me that lift your gaze, look at that building. And then I look at that building. So did I see the building? Yes, of course, I saw the building. But when that person looks at the building, he's looking at that building with a very different eye from mine. And he sees the building. He understands the building, he understands the foundation behind it, he looks at the building and he understands the materials that were used in that building. But when I looked at that building, I just saw the building and nothing else. That's all I know about the building. But subhanAllah, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us, وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ, that Allah has full insight over what you do. Because on the day of Qiyamah, when the zalimin, those wrongdoers, those people who have committed shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they will come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will present the excuses. And they will tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you see, it was for this reason and that reason that we couldn't bring iman in Ba'ath, we couldn't bring iman in you, we couldn't bring iman in the day of Qiyamah, in the day in resurrection, we couldn't bring iman for the following reasons. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on that day when they will present their feeble excuses, the excuses will not avail them, it will not help them in the least. But why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He had a full view over what they used to do in the dunya. Wallahu bima ta'maluna basir. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ. Allah says He created the heavens and the earth for a purpose. Allah created the heavens and the earth for a purpose. وَصَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرَكُمْ وَإِلَيْهِ الْمَصِيرِ. Allah says He fashioned you, He molded you. And then He says, فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرَكُمْ. And you know what? I really fashioned you very well. I molded you very well. So the ungrateful person is that person who thinks to himself, hey, why am I so short? Why am I so tall? Why did Allah create me? Why do I look like this? Why am I not so smart like that person? That is the ungrateful person. Because Allah is saying, فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرَكُمْ. Why should you entertain such thoughts when I am telling you are looking good, when I am telling you are looking beautiful, when I am saying you look smart? وَإِلَيْهِ الْمَصِيرِ. And to me shall you all return. So Allah says He created the heavens and the earth for a purpose. In the previous verse Allah says, وَالَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ. Allah created all of you. In this verse Allah says He created the heavens and the earth for a purpose. So what do you think, O insan? Do you think that Allah created the heavens and the earth only for a purpose and not you? أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ. Do you think that we created you without a purpose? أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. That we created you just because we were bored or something and you're not going to return to us? Brothers and elders in Islam, every single thing has a purpose. The sun has a purpose. The moon has a purpose. The stars have a purpose. وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعْلَ لَكُمُ النُّجُومِ لِتَهْتَدُوا بِهَا فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. Why did Allah make the stars? Allah made the stars for you so that you can navigate by the means of the stars. Day and night, subhanAllah. Allah says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعْلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلِ لِتَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ. Why did Allah make the night for you? So that you can take rest at night. In another verse, Allah says, لِتَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ. Why did Allah make the day for you? So that you can go out in the morning and you can seek from the sustenance of Allah. You can seek from the bounty, from the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ مَنَامُكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. SubhanAllah, listen to this verse. Allah says that from His signs, from His signs is your sleep at night and at day. When a person sleeps, we know he gets raha. This is a means for him getting rest. And Allah says this is from His signs. That when you sleep at night and day, and in the morning you go out to seek from the sustenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of these things indicate to the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah says, listen, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمِ يَسْمَعُونَ. That indeed in the above mentioned verse, there are signs for a people who will hear. And Allah didn't say there are signs for a people who will see. The ulama of tafsir, when they make tafsir of this verse, they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said, indeed in the above mentioned verse, there are signs for a people who will see. But Allah didn't say that. Why? Because we know when a person sleeps, all his senses temporarily stop functioning. Although the eyelid may be open, not shut, but the person is still sleeping. But all the senses temporarily stop functioning besides the sense of hearing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings nawm, brings sleep with sam', the ability to hear, because when a person is sleeping, he can still hear subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he can't see. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمِ يَسْمَعُونَ. So you and I also have a purpose in this dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this purpose in the Quran. Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That I have not created jinn kind and mankind except that they make my ibadah. This is the purpose. There are many other purposes also why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us into this dunya. But the main object and the main purpose is that we make the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how are we going to make this ibadah of Allah? For this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down many anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam to this world. And each and every Nabi came to his nation. And he gave the message that قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ تُفْلِحُوا. Say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ and you will be successful. Allah says وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن قَبْلِكَ مِن رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدُونَ. We did not send any messenger before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but that we reveal that there is no ilah but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so worship Allah. If we look into the Quran, we will see the verses وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَى قَوْمِ فَقَالَ. What did he say? Ya qawm, O my people, u'budu Allah, ma lakum ilahin ghayru. Wa ila adin akhahum huda, wa ila thamuda akhahum saliha. These were the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam that were sent into this world for the very same mission, for the very same task. That call the people, invite the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dedicates one surah in the Quran known as Surah Nuh to the efforts and to the da'wah, the invitation of a great Nabi, Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. This Nabi called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا. He called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 1,000 years but 50. 950 years he kept on giving the people da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find that 80 somewhat people brought iman in this Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's call. Likewise, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with the very same mission, with the very same task and obligation that called the people to La ilaha illallah. My dear brothers and elders in Islam, and we know the sacrifice that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam made for you and I, so that deen can come to your home and my home. We don't have to go into the incident, we don't have so much of time to go into the incidents, but we know the incident of Taif, that after 9 years, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam made continuous effort amongst the people of Makkah, and they left no stone unturned in harming, in persecuting, in injuring Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And now when he comes to Taif, we know the incident. He first meets with the three chiefs of the qabila of Banu Thaqif, the Banu Thaqif tribe, the second biggest tribe in the entire Hijaz. He expected that these people will receive him and welcome him, or they'll give him a cordial treatment or something. But look what happened. One of the brothers said, hey, Allah made you a prophet. So look at the sacrifice he had to undergo for us. Hey, Allah made you a prophet. The other brother says, couldn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make somebody else a prophet? And the third brother said, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you a prophet, if you are a prophet, then I don't want to speak to you. Because then I'm only inviting trouble for myself. And if you are not a prophet, then why should I speak to an imposter? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then decides to go to the people of Taif. They also didn't listen to the call of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And finally, when he decides to leave Taif, Then too, they didn't leave Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They began pelting him with stones. His body was filled with blood until his shoes were clogged to his feet. And then he sits back and he says, Allahumma ilayka ashku dhafa quwwati wa qillata hilati wa hawani ala nas. It's a lengthy dua. Ya Allah, to you do I complain. The weakness of my strength. I don't have the potential. I don't have the strategy. Ya Allah, I'm an insignificant person in the eyes of the people. It's a lengthy dua. Jibreel comes down. The sky shook. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes down. And he says, Assalamu alaykum, O Muhammad. Salam be upon you. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deputed an angel. He's here at your command. Command. This is the angel of the mountain. And he will cause the mountains to collide with each other to destroy all the people that are between these mountains. But look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at his fikr, look at his concern. He says, no. If it were you and I, what would we have said? We would have taken advantage of this opportunity. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. Perhaps from the people of Taif, there will be that person who will believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he will not associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dear brothers and elders in Islam, you need to understand something. The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they passed away. The incidents of Sahaba are many. Bilal radiallahu anhu, Anas ibn Nadar radiallahu anhu, Ammar bin Yasir. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go past the family of Ammar bin Yasir, Yasir's family, and he would ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, how long must we remain like this, in this condition? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Sabran, they would be dragged along the burning and scorching sands of Makkah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tell him, Oh Yasir, Sabran, oh Ala Yasir, oh family of Yasir, keep on making sabr. Sumayya radiallahu anha, the mother Abu Jahl, how did he kill her? He put his spear in the most private part of her body and then he killed her. Yasir, after prolonged torture, he couldn't bear this, so he passed away. But Ammar radiallahu anhu survived. And we find in one ghazwa, in one sariya, when Ammar radiallahu anhu was now 94 years old, so nobody has an excuse. Because Ammar radiallahu anhu is now at the age of 94 years old. So the elderly person doesn't have an excuse. He also has to give time. He also has to give some qurbani, some sacrifice to spread and to make effort on our iman and to invite the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That at the age of 94, he's about to pass away in this battlefield. On the battlefield. And Ammar radiallahu anhu says that I'm going to meet my friends. I'm going to meet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. And then he asked for some water. So the people brought to him a glass of milk. They didn't find water at that time. And when they brought this water, when they brought this glass of milk to Ammar radiallahu anhu, he says, oh, now I recall the statement of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, oh Ammar, the last thing you will drink in this dunya will be milk. He drank that glass of milk and then he passed away. Really, my dear brothers and elders, our time is up. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this realization that we need to recognize our Allah. We need to make effort on our iman. We need to invite people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and invite our families, invite people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try and link each and every person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.